WPHM now presents Paul Miller's Week in Review.
And a good morning, everybody. We talked this past week with Larry Gaynor. He is a Michigan entrepreneur who is having a pitch competition for other Michigan entrepreneurs. It's called Take a Chance. It's based on the title of the book that he wrote about being an entrepreneur, and he wants to help other Michigan entrepreneurs. I asked him why.
Good question. I started my company in 1985, just 2 years before you started your radio career. I mean, it's pretty amazing that you're doing radio and I'm doing beauty products for all this time. So I've made it. I've done well. I wrote a book. It's called Take a Chance. And the book launches April 9th on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and so forth. But to give back to the community and give back to entrepreneurship, I'm a strong believer in both community and supporting entrepreneurship. In fact, it's the most popular major now in business schools. And I've participated in pitch competitions in the past, but I decided that, listen, you know, put the money where your mouth is. And I wanted to really support Michigan entrepreneurs because Michigan really isn't known for entrepreneurship. I mean, we have a few areas in Ann Arbor and downtown Detroit and so forth that supports entrepreneurs, but we need more small businesses. We need more entrepreneurs to start their businesses in Michigan and make Michigan a growing, thriving community. So I said, you know what? I'm going to take $251,000 of my own money and start this pitch competition. It's called Take a Chance and go for it.
Good for you. How do people enter this contest to begin with?
The website is takeachance.biz, and that's .biz. And all the rules, the categories, the prizes, the judges, the application is right there. The application is open. They have until the end of May to complete the application. It's as you mentioned earlier in the show, it's only open to Michigan residents. And there's six categories. And one of the categories I deemed essential is for university students. Because students, you know, they really are getting into entrepreneurship. And they can go for the $20,000 first prize, $5,000 second prize. It's open to university students in Michigan that have been in Michigan for at least 1 year. The grand prize is $101,000, which is one of the biggest grand prizes in the U.S.
Yeah.
For any pitch competition.
Yeah, this is huge. And I like that you've broken it down into different categories because that kind of levels the playing field a little bit more, doesn't it?
It does. I've done a lot of research. Well, you know, I'm an entrepreneur, so that's what I do. I do a lot of research, and I've investigated the Inc. 500 companies, the Inc. 5,000 companies. I learned about 85% of those companies are tech companies. Everybody wants to get into tech. They think that's where the money is, but there's so much money in other categories like nutrition and food and healthcare, entertainment and media, content, workforce solutions, and yeah, I mean, so there's a category for everybody. And I'll tell you what's really interesting, Paul, is I'm not going to say what your age is, but I'm guessing what your age is.
That's all right.
But I know. The one of the biggest categories of people entering business today are 55 plus. And, you know, I'm on your show, you know, I'm 68. I'm sure there's plenty of listeners, you know, on your show that are 55 plus. They've retired or they're near retirement. But listen, you know, 60 is the new 40. And, mm-hmm. you know, they're not ready to, but they want to start. They don't want to work at McDonald's. They don't want to work at fast food. They want to start their own business. And this is the perfect opportunity at this age to start your own business. You don't have to be 20 years old or 25 years old to start your business. You could be 60, 65, 70 these days.
Yeah.
So the pitch competition is for anybody that really wants to get into their own business, be an entrepreneur. It could be a startup or a business that's been operating for up to 2 years.
Talking with Larry Gaynor, he has launched a pitch competition. This is all coming quickly, too, by the way. Submissions are being accepted through the end of May, so you want to get in on this now rather than waiting. What goes into a good pitch? If somebody's trying to put together a good pitch, they've got an idea. What are some things that go into a successful pitch?
That's an amazing question, because 95%+ of companies that pitch don't win anything. The failure rate is amazing.
Wow.
So to win, you really do need a superior product or service that's scalable, and not just a dream. Mm-hmm. Preferably, you already have a product that you've sold. Think about, you go up north and you go to Petoskey, or you go to Charlevoix, or you go to Traverse City, and you're on vacation. And you're looking for the best chocolate chip cookie, you're looking for the best pie, you're looking for the best cherry jam, you're looking for the best. Those are entrepreneurs that focus on something that's really unique and that people really want. So the judges, we have 7 amazing judges. One of them is from Entrepreneur Magazine itself, who has a pitch competition called Entrepreneur Ventures. They're looking for companies, entrepreneurs that have a product or a service that's scalable. It maybe is already made. It's already been sold. It's already out there. It's competitive. It's not something that's been knocked off by somebody else. And they could take it to $1 million, to $10 million, to $100 million in sales.
Larry Gaynor with us earlier this week on WPHM. Later on this coming week, Impact is going to be having an online roundtable forum on the dangers of nicotine and vaping. It'll be led by Michael Thomas from Impact here in Port Huron. We talked with Michael about it earlier in the week.
Thanks for having me, Paul. Appreciate it.
What an important thing to talk about, too. It seems like more and more kids are using these e-cigarettes because they're so easy to get their hands on, to hide from parents and teachers.
I agree, and that's part of the reason why we wanted to do this. The reality is that we've got quite a few people in the area that have access to this. So what we wanted to do is just have a discussion on this and have as many people as possible join us. This is going to be a live-streamed event, so we're going to have several people from the community talk specifically about this so we can help reduce this, and this is an identified need in the area. So we have community representatives talking specifically about what we can do to reduce not just the access to this, but hopefully reduce the number of teens in the area from using vapes and seeing just how dangerous they can be.
Yeah, they are dangerous, and it is an ever-growing problem, isn't it?
It certainly is, and I think there's a lot of misconceptions about the safety of them. A lot of people think that basically they're safer than cigarettes, and so what's the problem? But we're hoping that with the people that come on, we can help dispel some of those myths and really give a better look at just the risks that are involved with these.
Who all will be participating in the virtual town hall next week?
We have 4 panelists that are going to be joining us. We have Officer Alexander Allen is going to be joining us. He's a school resource officer. He's going to be tackling some of the effects of underage use on school campuses, primarily in Port Huron. We also have Jennifer Mihalik. Jennifer is the Director of Health Education and Planning for the St. Clair County Health Department. She's going to be talking about the effects on health for teens. I also have Elijah Bennett. He is a peer recovery coach with Blue Water Recovery Outreach Center. He's going to be talking about lived experience and some of the effects it's had on him and what he's been able to do to overcome that. And then we also have Anita Dadu. Her and her husband owned Walsh's Party Store, and so she's going to talk about what they do to help prevent teens from accessing vapes and tobacco products in their store.
And then who can participate or watch or join in this virtual town hall?
Anybody can join in. Basically, if you go on to www.facebook.com/ImpactPortHuron between 9:30 to 10:30, you'll be able to listen in. And at the end of the hour, we're going to be opening up questions. So all you have to do is add them into the comments, and we're going to be taking several comments towards the end and feature them. And the panelists are going to be able to answer any of the questions you have. So this is open to anybody in the public.
And I would think, parents, people that have kids or are near kids would want to be involved in this. And not even just parents, but anybody that has considered using e-cigarettes or is, concerned about smoking.
Exactly. So, yeah, if you would like to be a part of the discussion, this is a virtual town hall, and we'd like to hear from as many people as possible. So if you have concerns, if you have any questions, feel free to add some comments. We'd like to hear from you. We do have several questions I'm going to be asking to the panelists themselves, but we'd like to hear from you personally.
Next Wednesday, a week from tomorrow, March 20th, and again, it's all taking place on Facebook, Facebook Impact Port Huron is the page where people can watch this starting at 9:30 next Wednesday morning, right?
Correct. And we would love to see you, or love to have you basically just ask whatever you'd like. And just want to mention that this is part of a greater plan with the St. Clair County's Community Health Improvement Plan. So our goal is really to help reduce youth vaping and just create awareness for the public. So we'd love for you to be a part.
All right, fantastic. All next Wednesday. If people have questions ahead of time or need more information, where can they get that?
You can go to www.facebook.com/ImpactPortHuron for the actual link. If you want to learn more about the Community Health Improvement Plan, you can go to www.healthyscc.org for the overall plan itself.
Michael Thomas from Impact with us last week on WPHM. Talked again about the downtown Port Huron construction project that's coming in a couple of years, but already input being sought by the Michigan Department of Transportation. We talked with project manager Tom Anderson along with Caitlin French from MDOT about the survey that's gone out asking for input from residents on how they'd like to proceed with this project.
We launched this just a little bit ago on February 27th. We did this so we could have like stakeholders, community members. We really want them to weigh in on their preferences about how traffic should be maintained during this. We really want their feedback and their feeling on this, so that's why we've offered up a few different scenarios in the survey, which Tom can go over a little later. And, you know, the reason we're doing this now also is we want to gather this early since we're in the planning stage. That way we can be really strategic, you know, as we're coming out of the gate with our designs, especially as we keep the community's needs at the forefront of what we're doing here.
And, you know, I'm not going to lie. Some people look at something like this and say, yeah, I'm sure that they're really going to listen to what we have to say. I mean, obviously you want this input, otherwise you wouldn't be asking for it, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is a vital part. We want to hear, you know, how will this, you know, potentially impact you? What do you think about this? You know, there's different options on the table. So we definitely want to, you know, just kind of, you know, we want to take the community's pulse on what we're thinking going forward.
Tom, maybe we could kind of go through some of these options. The first option for people to weigh in on is full closure and detour. What would that look and feel like?
Yeah, so we had three options in the survey for how we can maintain traffic during construction. The first one we had is full closure and detour. So that's closing the entire road and detouring all of the vehicular traffic around the project. We would still maintain pedestrian access to the building, and we would still maintain east-west crossroads. Probably not all of them at the same time, but we would still maintain some of that access. This option is generally the fastest, the least costly, and the safest option for reconstructing a road. The only real con is that there wouldn't be any vehicular access to businesses during construction.
So essentially the most disruptive while it's going on, but takes a shorter amount of time and less money to complete.
Yeah, and it's safer. You know, you don't have people walking in, or you'll have people walking in, but you won't have, you know, cars moving through it. The contractors separated from traffic, and it's just, it's also the safest.
Option two would be partial width closure with one lane in each direction. Describe that.
So with that one, we would close half of the road, so like the west side of the road, and we would do all the work on that side of the road, tear up the pavement and all that kind of thing. And then on the east side of the road, we'd maintain one lane of traffic in each direction. The pros of this is, you know, you'd have some vehicular access to it, but it would be more costly than a full closure. It would take longer than a full closure. They probably wouldn't be able to have on-street parking, and it would be kind of hard to turn onto the side streets and driveways from it, especially, you know, this would cause a lot of backup.
Okay. Option three is the partial width closure with one direction of traffic maintained. What's that one look like?
So with that one, it's pretty similar to option two, but the main difference is that instead of two-way traffic being maintained, we would have one-way either, you know, northbound or southbound maintained, with the other direction detoured around the project. This would allow us to have some on-street parking, but it would also allow easy access to the driveways and side streets within it, because, you know, there wouldn't be queuing traffic in the other direction. But, you know, only for one direction. The other, either northbound or southbound, would be detoured around the project.
So these three options are before those that take the survey, and they can rank 1 to 5 how much or how little they like them. The other question is about when this construction is going to happen. We know it's going to be in 2026, and you know, we know that it can't happen in the middle of winter, but there are certain events and things that happen over the course of the year. So you're asking people to weigh in on that as well.
Yeah, well, you know, the project's going to take place probably for most of one summer construction season, but, you know, there'll be stage changes and things like that. We could schedule it so that we miss particular festivals or holidays. Probably not all of them, but, you know, one or two is probably feasible. And if we just want to know what's the most important thing for people, if there's one particular festival or holiday that they want, we'll make sure we don't hit it. And if there's, especially if there's a consensus on which one that is.
The next couple of questions on the survey are the ones that I think are generating the most conversation is, you know, so do we want to go from four lanes down to just two lanes, one lane in each direction with a center left turn lane, and kind of explain what that would look like if we do that?
So as part of this project, we'll have an opportunity to reconfigure what the lanes look like. You know, right now there's two lanes in each direction. With center left turn lane at McMoran Boulevard. We've had a lot of people in the community bring up, well, why don't you go down to one lane in each direction with a center left turn lane through the whole area, and then you'll have extra space to put something, for example, like bike lanes or bigger sidewalks or something, or landscape media. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we want to know what people think about it. If people want it, we want to know. And then the next question was, if we did do this, what would people like that extra space to be used for?
And as you mentioned, bike lanes, landscaped median, more sidewalk coverage. I mean, those are all options, aren't they?
Those are all things we could do. Yeah.
Okay. Caitlin, this survey went live online a few weeks ago. How long is it going to be up for people to participate, and where can people find this survey?
Yeah, sure thing. So that's going to be open until Friday, May 3rd. There's a nice window there to work with. As for the survey itself, you can find it in the press release that went out in the email blast for people who are subscribed. We do have it hosted on our website, and we can also send you a link, Paul, too, if you'd like to share it.
All right. Yeah, we did put it on our website a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
We'll probably put it back on.
Oh, perfect.
At some point.
It's a bit of a long link, so it'd be a little hard to spell out the URL for you there.
Yeah, exactly. But if you if you search it out or go to our website, WPHM.net, or our WPHM Radio Facebook page, I think you can probably find it. Pretty quickly and easily. This is a major project. It's going to happen, but this survey should give you a little guidance as to how to do it, right?
Oh yeah. This is going to be pretty useful, you know, as we're going forward, because we want to make sure that we're, you know, listening to the community, listening to what they want to see here. So this is a very valuable bunch of data we'll be collecting here.
Caitlin French and Tom Anderson with us earlier this week from MDOT on WPHM. Finally, we talked with Andy Baku. You know him from the Wolverine Market in downtown Port Huron and Andy's Wine Bar. And he shared some big news about Andy's Wine Bar with us.
Yeah, I'd love to share it with everybody. And just great news, of course, the hard work from Atchison people. They were just amazing, and now I'm the proud owner of Andy's Wine Bar.
Congratulations to you. That's a big deal. It's such a great little spot. People may remember it was Vinamondo for quite a few years, and then became Andy's Wine Bar, and it overlooks the St. Clair River. It's a great spot.
Probably one of the most beautiful spots. You know, we'll include that on the water. A lot of people love it, enjoy it. And I'm here, you know, I'm happy to announce it. Of course, that means I got to work harder. definitely some more plans in the future. And like I said, working with the Atchison people was just incredible. People, they made this dream come true. And we have definitely some plans, you know, to expand and do some cosmetic stuff. And,
all right. What might be in the future?
Definitely, people want us to open additional, you know, hours. So we're working on that for sure. Thursday is in the future. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we're open. You know, five till 10. And we'll announce that here pretty soon. And hopefully in the future, maybe some plans to do something on a Wednesday. Of course, as you know, Paul, I have a wine tasting this Friday coming up. While we take the winter break, we do some private events. I have a party next Saturday, just a private party. And hopefully in the future, maybe even expand and, you know, add another building so people can take advantage of that beautiful spot. So
that's fantastic. Yeah, it has been pretty much a seasonal business, spring and summer and into the fall, and then kind of shut down for the winter, right?
Yeah, the winter time we shut down. It's a great location. You know, definitely, as we were talking, it's a great opportunity for other people to come and check it out. There's opportunity to grow, the marina, the traffic on, you know, the boardwalk. Of course, we are there. You know, we're trying to make it a destination, and there's plenty of parking. The view is amazing. Of course, you know, the Atchison people own that whole property. And there's a ton of people that just come and, you know, view the water. And on the other hand, I see people that come from all over, literally, you know, from out of state, from Flint, from Pontiac, Detroit, and just drive and, you know, enjoy that spot.
Well, I, you know, I know that Jim Atchison had a vision for that property, and I don't think that it quite came fully to fruition, but boy, did he take that from what was just an abandoned rail yard, essentially, to now what's just one of the most beautiful places on all the Great Lakes.
I agree, and, you know, as you know, Andy's Wine Bar used to be the old Winkworth office, and the Atchison people renovated it and spent, you know, a lot of money on it, and, you know, it is what it is now. And Mr. Atchison definitely had a ton of plans. And I think, you know, people are missing out on the opportunity. They need to come out and join Andy's Wine Bar, you know, unless I hit the lottery and I'll just, you know.
And then you do it yourself, right?
Yeah. And it's beautiful. And I think that it's slowly, you know, building the property down the road from me, the train depot. That's a great location. It was supposed to be a brewery, and hopefully something will happen with that soon. There's opportunity for any other people, investors, and come and join the you know, the area over there next to the wine bar.
Tell us a little bit more about the wine bar for people who maybe haven't been there. What is it you offer there?
So literally, this is like a dream come true. And again, thanks to the Atchison people, they worked so hard at this. And we just having fun, educating people. As you know, I'm a certified sommelier. And it's more than just a wine bar, of course, but we have a full bar, beer, wine, liquor. It's a small space, some simple appetizers. As I say, you know, like if I'm enjoying a glass of wine, I don't want nothing heavy. So you can come before dinner or after dinner and enjoy a glass of wine.
It's Andy Bacou from Andy's Wine Bar with us. This past week on 1380 WPHM, I'm Paul Miller. Enjoy the rest of your weekend back on Monday and every weekday, 6 till 10, with the morning show here on WPHM. Remember, anything that you might have missed, you can find on our podcast page at WPHM.net or use the WPHM mobile app.